The scripture reading for today will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 15. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 15. And it reads, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift."
It's a blessing to know how good God is. And as I was pondering this week, had many thoughts to go through my mind concerning today's lesson because of how good he is. The psalmist said in Psalm 73 and verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel." And God is definitely good to us. And the reason why we love God is because of how good he is. Some have made that a cliche, but it's no cliche to those who truly understand and love God, that he is good. John would say we love him because he first loved us. And because of that great love that he has demonstrated to the world, this is the reason why we can turn around and say thank you. We're going to be ending this particular month, and I kind of hated to see it go because it is a month of Thanksgiving, even in the midst of the year that we've had. It's been a challenging year. It's been a challenging year for many. Many have lost family members because of illnesses. Many have lost their jobs. The height of fear is up. The height of arrogance is up. Yet the height of Thanksgiving among many is up too. I've had many conversations where people have said that this has caused me to put life in perspective. I have talked to many who have said that I'm now looking at life totally different, spending my time more wisely. And so that caused me to think about how good God is to us. When we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15, I find it interesting in that particular verse there, and there's so much in that one verse, and I've been asking myself all week, why is it in this context? This is a context, of course, that we go to as for the offering, and Brother Royce just very articulately just stated this particular context in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. But it's interesting that the Apostle Paul would put this verse that is so small in one sense, yet so power-packed in another sense. He says there, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable, depending on what version that you are using, what translation, gift." As I was thinking about this context, it caused me to think about how this situation even came to be. In Acts 11, verses 27 through 29, Agabus, who was a prophet, prophesied of a great famine. And as I was studying some of the famines of the years gone by, from 2200 BC all the way to really last year, there have been thousands of famines. Billions of people have died from famines. And it caused me to think about why is Agabus prophesying of a famine during the time of Claudius Caesar? And why is Paul so concerned about that? Well, he was concerned about it because brethren and, well, the world was going to be affected by this famine. People were not going to have the food that they needed. I've also found it very interesting the reason why there were certain famines of the land. There were certain famines in the land because of the lack of rain, of course. You would say, well, that's obvious, but there were also certain famines because of war. You would have an army that would come in and they would encircle the land, and that would keep trade from coming in. And over a period of time, the people wouldn't have what they needed. Things would dry up. And the next thing you know, you have people dying and fighting one another. Well, the Apostle Paul, as he is inspired to write in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I found it very, very powerful that he would want the brethren to have everything that they needed, but he wanted the world around the brethren to have what they needed too. Which reminds me of Galatians 6, verse 10. For we supposed to, as we therefore have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those in the household of faith. God has always been concerned about all mankind. Brother Cheek, I also found it very interesting in the book of Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 9, verses 19 and 20, in that area, that God wanted his people to glean the fields, but leave the corners of the field. And that was for the poor and the widows. That's interesting. God took care of his people, but he wanted everybody else to be taken care of. But they had to go pick their own. And so that was pretty interesting. And so the more I was thinking about this, I thought about Christ's unspeakable gift. Why? Now think about what was just stated in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, in Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 10, and what Jesus went through, friends, in order for mankind to have salvation. In order for us to have eternal life, in order for us to have the hope of eternal life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, here, keep in mind the background of Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, with Agabus and the prophesying of the famine. But he says something very interesting because Paul wanted these brethren to keep a vow that they made a year ago, a pledge, if you will. It was to take care of that particular situation. But he brings up Jesus Christ, and notice what the Bible here says. He says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And so that caused me to think about, what did Jesus actually give up? That's not part of our lesson this morning, but it just caused me to think in this Bible study this week, what did Jesus actually give up? Unfathomable. We don't even know. We just know he was rich, and he was willing to give it up so we could be rich, and he became poor coming in the flesh that we can have the abundance of eternal life. At least that's my thoughts. And so it made me think about what Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 58, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. Son of man don't have a place to lay his head, which means that Jesus owned nothing down here, yet he owns all things. And so this is in this context. And in this context, we see something very powerful that's worthy of our consideration. And I want us to continue to keep considering these things because Paul is actually using this particular situation as he is bragging, and I know he's bragging, in a very powerful way, in a positive way to the Macedonians about the Corinthian brethren and the vow that they made a year ago that they was going to help with this famine. And so we see something very interesting as well. Look at chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is unnecessary or excessive, superfluous for me to write to you. For I know your willingness about which I boast to you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal was stirred up with the majority. Here, he's bragging about the pledge that they made a year ago, that they was going to help with this particular famine. And so as he is bragging to them about this, he wanted to do something that I thought was pretty interesting. He sent brethren there early so they could have the offering ready, if you will. This offering was a special offering for those with the famine, not necessarily for the Corinthian brethren in that particular locale. They had the things in which they needed, but this was for the famine that the brethren was going to be going through and the people. And so he sends some brethren there a little bit early because he didn't want them to be shamed. He wanted to make sure that they had exactly what they needed in order for them to be prepared. Look at verse number 3 and following. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, to encourage the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this particular point out is because when we think about the times that we live in now, and Brother Roy said it right, we are in a very blessed nation. We have an abundance. We really do. But we have an abundance for many reasons. We are a working people. We are a capitalistic society. We believe in working, at least some of us. But there are some who want something for free. That's not this lesson, but I do want to say this point. Friends, God teaches us that if a man doesn't work, he doesn't deserve to eat. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I want to make this point. When we think about the Corinthian brethren, they had an abundance. And Paul was approaching them so the other brethren and those who were around them could benefit from that. But they had to make sure that they had the right attitude when they was doing these. And so I want us to consider some things real quick. Number one, put that up, Brother Stephen. When we think about Christ, the indescribable gift of God, God has given us an indescribable gift, unspeakable gift. The word unspeakable, if you will look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 15 again, is very powerful in and of itself. The idea of the word literally means that cannot be thoroughly related to or expounded in full. In other words, just can't put enough words to it. The gift that Jesus is, just can't put enough words to it. We become empty when it comes to describing the gift that Jesus really is. It's hard for us to put all of the vernacular and the vocabulary together in order to describe what Jesus is and who he is to us and to the world. In the demonstration of Jesus Christ, of God's love to the world, giving his life to the world, Romans 5 and verse 8. But here he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable or unspeakable gift. When you look up that word gift, it literally means gratuity. And so that caused me to think, I'm like, gratuity? Hold on. Gratuity is usually something you give to someone for service. Well, hold on. Man didn't do anything to deserve Jesus. As a matter of fact, he went against the will of God. So why is this translated gratuity in the original? But when we think about this, the actual definition means something given beyond obligation. Was God obligated? No. Friends, now it started to make a little bit more sense why Paul would use that particular phraseology in that context. Oh, they were not obligated to help their brethren per se and help the world that was going through this famine. But if you notice, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 8. And then I want you to look at another passage. He says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. And so what was he doing? He was testing their sincerity. He wanted them to put their love where their action was. He wanted the people to be taken care of. Jesus is the same. God is the same, rather. God wanted us to be taken care of. How? On a spiritual level. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't forgive ourselves for our sins. Why? Because we didn't transgress our own law. We transgressed the law of God, 1 John 3, verse 4. But look at 1 John 3. Look at verse number 16 through 19. In 1 John 3, verses 16 through 19, here, notice what our brother has to say as relates to helping out. Because there may be a time where we may need to help out some people. I've had a few phone calls within the last couple of weeks where brethren have asked, is there anyone that needs help? Is there anyone that needs help? No, not right now. But you know what? Those are good questions. We ought to be asking those questions. But I do want to make this point. When Paul is dealing with the church at Corinth, he's dealing with them as a group, being together. And so when you think about putting our resources together, we're actually working together to help those who are in need. In 1 John 3, verses 16 through 19, notice what the Bible here says. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Jesus did that, friends. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. How do we demonstrate that we love our brothers? By making sure that they have what they need. I don't believe that the laying down of one's life here is a physical aspect, even though you could probably take it that far. However, he's talking about making sure that they have what they need. One thing that I am very pleased with this congregation, we make sure that takes place. But if we're not careful, sometimes we can get caught up in the things of this world, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we can lose focus. I know I had to check myself a few times. Am I so focused on other things that I'm not looking at my brethren, making sure that they have what they need? Yes, my bank account might look all right, but what about the bank account of another? Oh, I'm not promoting socialism by no stretch of the imagination. I know that people mismanage their money. However, I know that you can even teach them out of their mismanagement. Okay? And so when we stop and we consider these things, these are some things that we want to keep in mind. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want us to pull out a couple points that I truly think that are powerful, because he brings up a couple of individuals. One, to be exact, he brings up a man by the name of Titus. And when you think about Titus, Titus was all over the place when it came to helping the brethren. As a matter of fact, when you consider 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 6, Paul was encouraged and comforted just by the coming of Titus. Just by the coming of Titus. You drop down to verse number 13, and he attaches Titus with joy. And that caused me to think some other things, that when people think about us, should they be thinking joyous thoughts? You drop down to verse number 14, you see something very interesting. For if in anything I boasted to him about you, I'm not ashamed. But as we speak all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. Look at verse number 6 of chapter 8. In verse number 6 of chapter 8, now he's talking about this free will offering, this grace of God, this gift. He wanted the brethren to be helped. Titus was heavily involved in this. Notice what the Bible says. Let's start at verse number 5, and we'll put in verse 6 as well. And not only as we had hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. He's going to go pick up this grace. It's interesting that the grace of God here is the gift. The grace of God would be the offering, the help that the brethren who were going to be affected by this famine were going to be benefiting from. But drop down to verse number 16. But thanks be to God, who put the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. Titus wanted to really help the brethren. He wanted to make sure that the brethren had what they needed. We ought to be involved in good works. We ought to be looking for opportunities. If we're not careful, friends, the situation that we find ourselves in the world, in America, friends, we won't even focus on people who are around us. And everybody needs to be helped. Everybody needs to be helped. It caused me to think about, why did God really send his son for a bunch of people who could care less about him? Romans 5, 8 and 9 through 10.
People hated God, yet God still sent his son. As Brother Royce was reading Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 10, I was thinking about the lesson this morning, and man, I kind of wish I would have thought more about Isaiah 53. God, you're going to send your son to die for a bunch of people who could care less about him? But not only that, friends, he sent his son for some people who did care about him. So we can't forget about that point either. So you drop down to verse 23. And notice what the Bible here says about Titus. If anyone inquires about Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. Remember earlier, he wanted to see the sincerity of their love. Now he's boasting. Now he's saying we want to see that this boasting actually comes to fruition. Kind of makes me think about the work that we ought to be doing, too. Making sure that our brethren have what they need. Making sure that the people around us. But why? Why should we do this? Let me show you a few things that's very interesting in the text. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verses 10 through verse number 14. Three things we're going to see in this particular text, which makes sense why God would call this through the Apostle Paul his indescribable or unspeakable gift. God, what are you looking for? God is always looking for something. He just doesn't do things just to be doing them. Starting at verse 10, notice what the Bible here says. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Notice he went from physical to spiritual, from physical to spiritual. Verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. God loves to be thanked. He loves to be glorified. He loves to be honored. And this was going to be taking place through the apostles. Verse number 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, that's the church, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. Notice that. Members of the church was going to be very thankful. People in the world were going to be thankful because of the work of the Macedonians, the work of the Corinthians. God was going to be receiving thanksgiving, and he still loves to be thanked, even today. Verse 13, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorified God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them. That's the church. That's the saints. The antecedent is the saints and all men. Notice that, friends. All men were going to be benefiting from the sharing of the brethren here, which is wrong when brethren say, well, we shouldn't help those who are outside of the Lord's church with those treasury funds. No, we can help them. As a matter of fact, how can God truly be glorified among those who are without unless we're involved in good works? Right? Jesus went about doing good. Acts 10, verse 38. Men are going to see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. The abundance in which we actually have is actually to benefit the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. And men will fall down on their knees and tell God, thank you. But notice what he goes on to say. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you who long for you, because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Notice, we see three times that thanksgiving is given. It's giving through the apostles because of the work that they're doing. It's giving from the brethren and also those in the world, but also it's given by the apostles themselves because of the great offering of Jesus Christ. Number two, turn over to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, just a little quick point that I was thinking about. The gift of justification through Christ, the gift of justification, God's indescribable, unspeakable gift. Friends, I don't know if we have enough time to really look at this. So I'm just going to give you a highlight. And the reason why is because for those of us who are Christians, for those of us who have been baptized into Christ, for those of us who are members of the Church of Christ, we've had our conscience cleansed from dead works. Now we have the privilege of serving the living God, Hebrews 9:14. To be declared right. And that's what the word justification means. It literally means to be declared right. Brother James, we have so many men and people who are declaring themselves right. But Brother Royce, we can't declare ourselves right. Only God can declare me and you to be right. Only God can do that. But we have many who declare themselves right. Well, I know I'm right. Why? I just feel that way. No, it doesn't work that way. Friends, we consider these things. Why should we be thankful for God's indescribable gift? Because it is through Jesus Christ we have justification. Number one under this point, I want us to consider Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and the reason why Jesus was raised from the dead. I'm going to give you two passages. In Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, this is something that we ought to be teaching our children, teaching our fellow man, that you're justified because of what Jesus did, because of the holy life that Jesus lived. And because he lived a holy life, we can give. Because he lived a holy life, we can live a holy life. Here the Bible says in verse number 3 and verse number 4, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him, that's Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. Now look at Romans chapter 4 and look at verses 23 through 25. In Romans 4, 23 through 25, here we have the reason why Jesus again was raised. Friends, the reason why we can be thankful, the reason why we can help our fellow man, the reason why we can help our brethren is because of the love that he demonstrated to us. And the very fact that he showed us love, who are we not to show love to one another, even our fellow man, yea, our enemies? That's a difficult one right there, right? I had to check myself today, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but I guess I will because I brought it up. But this morning, I'm sitting at the table, and Evelyn and I was talking, and we had this little gadget because Frontier is going out there, and they're giving advertisements and stuff like that, and they had this little thing, looked like a keychain, and it said, made in China. I said, you want this? She said, I don't know what it is. I'm throwing it away because it's made in China. You know, I had to check myself. I got to watch my attitude. I don't like China right now. But hold on. We got some brethren that are from China. I better watch my attitude right. I got to watch my attitude. But notice, Romans chapter 4, 23 through 25. Now, it was not written for his sake. This is Abraham. He brings Abraham into the picture of being justified by faith, never being part of the law of Moses. That's the point here. But notice, alone that it was imputed or accounted to him, but also for us. It shall be accounted to us or imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, who believed in God, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered. This goes back to the Isaiah 53. This goes back to the John 19. Jesus being on the cross, Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus being pierced in the side, forth came blood and water. He was delivered up for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders. By his stripes we're healed. He's delivered up because of our offenses. Hold on, Jesus, you didn't do anything wrong? No. Friends, praise be to God for his indescribable, his gift that we can't even put into words. It's hard for us to put it into words. And if we're not careful, we'll look at the Lord's Supper as some byword. Let's hurry up and get through this so we can move on. If we're not careful, we'll look at the sacrifice of Jesus as something that just took place 2,000 years ago. But notice the latter part of that verse. And was raised because of our justification. But do you know that the story didn't end there? You have some that say, well, the finished work of Jesus on the cross is all we need. Not according to this verse. If Jesus' work ended at the cross, we're still in our sins. He had to be raised for us to be declared right before God. Many people have died on the cross, but only one was raised for our sins, and that's Jesus Christ. That's why we can give. That's why we can help others, because we ourselves have been helped. And for that reason, we want to make sure that our mind and our conscience are cleansed, that we're holy before God. But notice verses 12 through the end of the chapter. Real quick. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, if you notice the text, friends, death spread to all men, not sin. Those are two different things. You'll have some who say, well, since Adam sinned, now the babies, they have to be baptized because they sinned, because of Adam's sin. But that's false. Sin didn't pass down. Death did. Amen? Think about that, because your Calvinist friends say that sin has passed down. Our Catholic friend says sin has passed down. And this is why they're baptizing babies. They're sprinkling babies. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said death passed down. And so when one dies spiritually, now he or she must be justified before God. Praise be to God for his unspeakable gift. Because we will still be in our sins. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man Jesus Christ abounded to many, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. Jesus is different than Adam. The second Adam came and he did things right. The first Adam came and he didn't do things right. The second Adam came and he obeyed God. The first Adam came and he didn't obey God. The second Adam came and he justified man. The first Adam came and he put us in a fix. Friends, thank God for Jesus Christ. And that's why we can come to worship and we can thank God. That's why we can go out into the world and we can help people, because we ourselves have been helped. We've been helped out of sin. And if God did nothing else for us, friends, he's done enough. Would you say? He's done enough. Last point. We want to show our thankfulness to God, to San Angelo. How? By looking for opportunities to do good, Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. Friends, I said this a few weeks ago and I'll say it again. We understand the situation we're in. It's not going nowhere. the work of God must continue. We still have to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. We still have to help people in the midst of all of what we're going through. Do it safely? Yes. But we got to do it. We have to help people. Because people dying in their sins, Jesus said, where I am, you can't come. We may be able to help some people recover from COVID. But if they die in their sins, we can't help them recover from that. We got to help people right now. Got to stay focused right now. So we have to do whatever we need to do, whether send a text, send a card, get on the phone, encourage people. There are some people that we haven't seen here. We've been contacting them. If you haven't seen them, contact them. Please do your part. Because here's the bottom line. We're all going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer. Every last one of us. And we want to stand before God with his mercy. Of course, we understand that. But we want to stand before God knowing that I've done all that I could. I did all that I could. And I didn't allow anything to stop me. I'm moving forward. And so we want to demonstrate that. We want to do good. Doing good requires asking questions. What do you mean asking questions? Helping people to understand the life that they live now. There are a few people that I'm working with right now, and asking them questions, getting them to think, has been powerful. Hopefully we're asking people questions. Why do you believe what you're believing? Why are you acting the way you're acting? Why are you thinking the way you're thinking? Can you get better? Do you want to be better? Because if not, we'll be so focused on one thing instead of being focused on the main thing, and that's helping people to be saved and staying saved, especially in Christ. Showing love to the lost at all costs. A little point here. It says showing love to the lost costs money, time, and patience. Money, time, and patience. Let's be patient with people. Let's be patient with one another. Let's be patient. God is patient with us, giving us time. I think about the time that Jesus says he gave to Jezebel. I gave her space, room, time to turn. She didn't, but he at least gave her that time. Let's do that. This is how we show our thankfulness to God, to San Angelo, by giving God the glory. His indescribable gift is why we shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Friends, people want the light. I talk to people, and I'll leave you with this. This is what they say. I'm quoting. I'm so sick and tired of this. I just want things to get back to normal. Yes, we do. So how do we help them? Do we join the pity party? Do we join all the negative talk? Or do we seek opportunities to be a light, demonstrating that thankfulness to God, putting our resources where the help is needed? I hope and I pray and I trust that we come together and do our part together, but that we also work individually to help people to be the best that they can be, because that's why we're here, to help others to be the best that they can be. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be the best that you can be, and the only way that can happen is you have to come out of sin. You can't remain in your sins and be the best that you can be. And the only way you can do that is by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, by being willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and being buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will add you to his Son's church, the only church that you can be saved in. Friends, this is what we need to get people to see, that salvation is in Christ Jesus. Don't you want to be saved? Or maybe you're a child of God and, well, you've been complaining and murmuring instead of being thankful. God has given us his indescribable, unspeakable, a gift that we can't even really put to words. At least what we can do is be willing to give up anything that will hinder our relationship with Him and be thankful with the life and the thinking that pleases God. As we stand and as we sing, the safest invitation.